Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 1. I don't know how many times I've had the privilege through the years to stand up here and give a Mother's Day message as well as a Father's Day message. I don't know. I think I've maybe missed one particular Mother's Day when we were away for some reason. I don't even remember why at this time. But you know, when you think of fathers, and you think of special fathers in the Bible, you usually think of someone like Abraham. You know, you may think of Joshua. You may think of some of these other, what we would call giants of the faith, like maybe, a Paul or a Peter or someone like that. But when you think of Joseph, you don't really think of a real dynamo for God. I think sometimes we overlook some of those that are not mentioned maybe as much as some others are in the scriptures. When you think of a father, not many people will mention about Joseph being the stepfather of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to read this portion of scripture as we look at Joseph, and I've entitled this message, Joseph, a Man's Man. And the Bible says this in verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." You know, I believe that being a parent is probably one of the hardest roles of all the roles to fulfill. It seems like in this particular role, there are no experts. Usually if there's one who portrays himself to be an expert, it doesn't take much examination to realize that that expert too is probably deficient in some areas. You know, I know for me, I'm always on a constant learning mode. It's child rearing for me is just about over. Brendan and our baby is, and I say baby, Jeremy, I don't mean to embarrass him. He's going to be 20 years old in August. So that's our baby, you know. But so it's just about over for us. However, I know that you never stop learning. And there's always those situations that arise in life where you're asking for God's wisdom and you're wondering what to do and you're searching the scriptures and you're begging God for mercy and so on. And, you know, it's just amazing how that is one particular role as dads that we fulfill that we probably feel the most inadequate when we get to thinking about it, when we do think about it. And it's a day like today that really causes us, I think, sometimes to sit up and take note. And as I was looking at this passage of scripture, I began to just think what must have been going through Joseph's mind and maybe some of the emotions that he was feeling during this time. And, you know, as you think about this and put yourself in his place and you begin to see how he acted and reacted to the situation at hand, you begin to see that this was a special man. This was a godly man. And I want us to look at three things today in regards to Joseph, how that he was a good man, how that he was morally strong, and that also Joseph was well-mannered. And so let's look first of all at the aspect that he was a good man. You know, just as God had blessed Mary, we see that Joseph was blessed as well. God trusted both Mary and Joseph with the privilege of helping raise the Christ child. That's an amazing thing. You know, you look at Mary and you say, wow, how special it must have been for her to carry Jesus Christ for some 9 months and give birth to the Christ child, and then to cuddle him and hold him and just care for him. But, you know, you have to also see where here was a man, Joseph, that stepped up and he says, you know, I'll take the responsibility of fulfilling the dad's role. And he became a stepfather. And so I want us to see just a couple things in the fact that he was a good man. And sometimes because there's not much said, and even at the death of Jesus, we don't even know exactly when Joseph passed away or if he passed away. But we see here where even at the cross, he must have already died, that Jesus looked at John and said, "Behold thy mother." And so we see that Jesus had taken the role of caring for his mother during his earthly ministry. But up until that time, we see all the way up to at least 12 years of age, Joseph was very much in the role of a stepdad taking care of Jesus Christ. This was a good man. Number one, I see that he followed biblical traditions. You know, when you see and say in our fundamental circles the word tradition, a lot of times we get nervous because we say, you know, maybe you came out of a system where it was all about tradition, and yet you really couldn't find the biblical principle even that tradition followed. It was just something that man plugged into life, and they've always done it that way. And of course, we had a tradition that we just followed just a little while ago in regards to the various dads that we honored here. That's a tradition that we've taken on. There's nothing wrong with that. You can't go and see it in black and white in the scripture, but yet you see principles laid out in scripture. And we see that he followed biblical traditions. And tradition is good as long as it stays within the confines of the Word of God. And Mary and Joseph, we need to understand, lived at a difficult time. Caesar occupied Palestine at this time. Think about that. Here was not a free people. The Jews were not a free people. They were under occupation. And so this was a tough time where they were under the bidding of a foreign power. And they were oppressed by that foreign power. I mean, taxes were high, and they were having to actually go to the place of their birth so that they would be able to pay their taxes. And so there was a lot of things going on, a lot of unrest within society. And family pride was important as you look at this passage of scripture where here's Joseph. He finds out that Mary's with child, and he knows that they've not been immoral. He knows that he's pure, and he's believing with all of his heart that his bride-to-be, his wife, as they call it in Jewish culture, even during the engagement period, they were considered as husband and wife, just as married, but yet not living together, not having the marriage consummated. And so he said, you know, something's gone wrong. Something's happened here. And so maybe I need to put her away privately. He cared. There was that family pride that must have welled up within him. Could you imagine what Joseph's family would have thought and would have said, and the conversations that if it wasn't said to his face, oh, around the coffee shop or in the kitchen, they were talking about what happened and how it happened and who was involved in this and so on. And you can imagine the mix of emotions. Regardless, it says that the angel came and spoke to Mary, and the angel came and spoke to Joseph, but they didn't announce it at the corner store. They didn't announce it at the coffee shop. They had that private message, and so they're telling mom and dad, we're pure, we're right, there's nothing wrong, we're still godly, we love God, and we wouldn't do anything to bring a smudge on the name of our God or our family. You can imagine how difficult this was. Joseph's completely innocent in this. And so you can imagine the trouble and the turmoil that he was going through. And we see here how important this whole religious system here too, as they waited for the coming Messiah and they sought to live every aspect of their life following the Word of God. And how this just threw what we would call today a monkey wrench in their lives. We find also, as far as the tradition is concerned, that yes, Joseph was engaged, that's the espousal word. And you find it used here in this passage of scripture, as well as the view here. It says before they came together. That means before they consummated the marriage, that she was with child. And so here he was following the tradition of doing things right. You see, Joseph was concerned that he followed the scriptures, but also that he worked within the context of a society that at that time had the principles of marriage laid down right according to the Word of God, and he was trying to follow that. He was trying to follow those traditions. So we see here he followed biblical traditions. He was a good man. Number two, we see where he followed the Lord. In fact, the angel said that he was the son of David. In other words, he had a relationship with God enough to have him, God, carry on a conversation with him by way of an angel messenger. Think about that. Here God sends an angel, a special angel, to talk directly to Joseph. I mean, that's a special relationship. You don't find that throughout Scripture where God sends a special one to talk to just anybody. And so let's not think for 1 minute that Joseph somehow, because he's not talked about a lot in Scripture, mentioned a lot in Scripture, that somehow he didn't really matter to God and he didn't have a real relationship with God. And that ought to encourage each and every one of us. It's not how our name is mentioned, whether it's mentioned. We can have a special relationship with God as we have Jesus Christ as our Savior and the Holy Spirit who indwells us. That every single one of us have a special relationship with the Heavenly Father. We also see here where Joseph was obedient. He followed the directives of the Lord to the letter. I mean, can you imagine? You can imagine, as I mentioned, how troubled Joseph was at this particular time in his life. He's anticipating his wedding day, where he'd be able to take his bride to himself and they would be able to set up a home and have a family. And you can imagine, as young men do, the dreams and aspirations he had for a life of happiness with the one that he loved. And then this happens. And we find that the angel comes and says, "This is what I want you to do." And even though it must have gone against everything that he was hearing from within and from without, you can imagine the turmoil and the doubts and the fears that he must have had, the shame that he was having to bear as people began to see how Mary was growing and how that the baby was showing in her as she carried the baby and the thoughts that must have come to his mind. And yet the angel of the Lord says, "Here's what I want you to do, Joseph." And Joseph obeys. You know, the wonderful thing about that is, sure, he had an angel come, but you know, today, and I know you hear it a lot here, but it's true and it needs to be in our minds constantly. We have a more sure word of prophecy. We have the word of God that we can go to and hear that word. You know, Joseph didn't have that. Here the angel Gabriel comes to him and says, "This is what's going to happen. This is what I want you to do." And so he has to remember these things. We have a better word because rather than have an angel, we have the Bible. And we can go back to it time and time again and say, "Now, what is that that he said? I need to be reminded again." And I can turn to it and I can say, "Okay, that's what I'm supposed to do. I forgot about that." And here we find Joseph obeying to the letter what the angel, what God wanted him to do. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 and following, the Bible says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Just as Joseph was an eyewitness and he hears what the angel's telling him. He says, For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. In other words, we'll never go wrong seeking to follow the word of God. That's what it says. Ye do well, that ye take heed. So you want to do well? You want life to go well for you? You want life to end well for you? Then take heed to the word of God. Don't listen to the onslaught of nominal Christianity or the unsaved world and the pull and the distractions that come our way and your own laziness in the Christian life and lethargy and all those things that come into play, you stick with the Word of God time and time again. That's why you stay in the Bible, stay in the Bible, stay in the Bible. Ye do well that ye take heed, as into a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation. I'm glad the Bible doesn't say one thing to me and another thing to somebody else. It says what it says. Amen? And some people say, well, I don't know what that means. Well, why don't you spend the time dealing with the Scriptures you do know, and then in time, God will show you what He wants you to know about those other Scriptures. Amen? And so he says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So we see here that Joseph was a good man. He followed biblical traditions. He followed the Lord. He was obedient. And he was a man who knew God. He knew God personally. That's exciting. In other words, as we would say in today's vernacular, we would say that Joseph was a saved man. You know that the Old Testament saints, and to this time, they were looking towards the cross. They had the promises of the coming Messiah. And we have this being worked out at this particular juncture in human history in Matthew chapter 1. Now we look back at the cross. I think it took more faith for them than it does us. Because we have, yes, the Word of God, but we also have the historical fact as well. And they only had the anticipation of the Word of God that this is going to happen. And yet, Joseph believed God. And even though he didn't maybe have anything at that particular juncture to grab hold of except the Word of God was enough. Amen? It was enough. That's all he needed. And so we would say in today's vernacular that he was a saved man. He was born again. He was looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. He believed in what God said. And John chapter 14 verse 6 says, Jesus saith unto him, talking about Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In other words, everyone comes to Jesus Christ the same way. In other words, they come by way of Jesus. The Old Testament saints, they come by way of Jesus. The New Testament saints, they come by way of Jesus. Each and every person must come by way of Jesus. We're not all going down separate roads and we'll end up at the same place. Jesus said, in essence, what he's saying here, I am the one and only way. I am the only truth that there is. I am eternal life. And so if you hope to see God the Father, you've got to come through Jesus Christ. The answer is not in the church. The answer is not in a tradition. The answer is not in our think so, hope so. The answer is in Jesus Christ. It's not Buddha. It's not Muhammad. It's not in some other God. It's in Jesus. But as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, and his name is Jesus. There is not another name under heaven given among men whereby we, what? Must be saved. So there's not several ways to heaven, there's one way to heaven. And to proclaim that is not being narrow-minded, it's being in agreement with what God the Father said. And I don't know about you, but if you have the answer for life's greatest need, it's important to tell it sure and clearly and straight. And so if Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that's the message we need to be spreading throughout the world. And if you're here today without Jesus Christ, he is the answer. He has and he is eternal life. And if you want to go to heaven, you must come through him. If you want to see God, you must come through him. And let me encourage you, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, that you make that decision today. Don't let pride stand in your way. Don't let the specialness of the day, don't let family pride stand in the way. Don't let possible criticism stand in the way. Make sure that you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. And we will give an opportunity in just a little bit for you to do just that. But Joseph was a man who knew God. One thing I also see Not only was Joseph a good man, he was morally strong. He was morally strong. And I see that he was morally pure. He was a man with desires. Obviously, as 1 Corinthians chapter 7 points out, he did not have the gift of singleness. There are some people that have the gift of singleness. I believe the Apostle Paul had the gift of singleness. He mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that being single is a gift from God. It also mentioned in that same passage of Scripture that being married is a gift of God. So in other words, as a human being, we can't lose. God's given us a gift. But because someone has the desire for marriage and they need that and so on, we find here that obviously Joseph and Mary were two that they loved each other and they wanted to be married, and so they had committed themselves each to the other, and he did not have supposedly that gift of singleness. And so yet we find that he was morally pure. The Bible says this. The inspired word of God said that, hey, Joseph was pure. He had never known a woman. Mary was pure. She had never known a man. And they, even though they loved each other and were looking forward to consummating their marriage, they kept themselves pure. Joseph was a pure man. He was morally pure. Obviously, as we see here, he had a good thought life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 6, he says, "For though we walk in the flesh," that means these houses of clay, "we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," that's not of this world, "but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations." Do you not know that he had to cast down some imaginations? Do you not know that when he found out Mary was expecting a baby, the flood of thoughts that would have come in, you talk about obsessive compulsive thoughts that must have just come at him from all directions. Which way does he turn? And he's trying to map this thing out and say, okay, I love Mary, and how can I do good by her and not hurt her? And yet there's no way I can marry her now because I found an uncleanness in her. She's not been true to me. And so that word put away means to divorce. And so I'm going to have to break this engagement. Can imagine those imaginations. He says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Yeah, the angel came to him. And you can imagine, even though the angel said, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." You can imagine the devil would play that trick and say, "Ah, are you going to believe that? You can't listen to that. That's not even reasonable. That goes against all human understanding." Folks, there's going to be a lot of things that are going to happen in your Christian life that's going to go against human understanding. And you're going to say, "This doesn't seem reasonable. What God's asking me to do, it doesn't seem right. It goes against what I hear everybody else saying and what I'm thinking everybody else is doing." And you almost get the Elijah complex. "I only am trying to serve you. Why don't you just take me to glory?" Lord says, "I've got 7,000 others that haven't bowed their knee to Baal." But you see that Joseph had a good thought life. He says this, he says, "In bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Finally, he had to get all those thoughts together. He had to say, "You know what? I'm either going to believe all these thoughts and all these things and all these imaginations that are coming, or I'm going to listen to what the angel of the Lord has told me, what God wants me to do." And he decided, "I'm going to obey God. I'm going to live according to the word of God. I'm going to take Mary as my wife. I'm going to remain pure even after we're married until Jesus Christ is born." We are privileged to be the parents and me the stepfather of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though people may not believe it or understand it, and even though they may criticize me about it, I'm going to do right anyway. He was morally strong. Would to God we had people like that today. We need men like that today. I trust you're a man like that. I trust you're a godly woman like that. We ought to all take these principles and say, "Hey, look, we may not be much, but we can obey the word of God. We may be made fun of, but we can obey the word of God." And some things may not seem reasonable, and it may seem like we're swimming against the tide, but we can obey God. We won't give in to the lack of morals in society today. And don't think that we're living in any more wicked day than Jesus Christ was born in. You study history and you find out that they were encased and enthralled with debauchery in those communities. Just like we are today. God help us. We find that Joseph, being morally strong, he had a good thought life. He was morally pure, but also he was willing to go through life bearing the reproach of a Christian. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what people would say about him? And, you know, obviously, I thought about this, and I even wrote the question here in my notes. Are we willing to bear the reproach of being a sold-out Christian? And I purposely put sold-out Christian. Because you know what? You tell people, I'm a Christian. Oh, that's good. It's good you're a Christian. What does that mean? It just really today, it just doesn't mean much of anything. And so we need to be a sold out Christian. When you talk about a Bible thumper or Billy Bible or a Holy Joe or whatever you want to call it, one who is sold out for God, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where the criticism comes. And we need a generation of Christians who say, I'm not going to be mediocre. I'm not going to be lukewarm. I'm definitely not going to want to be cold. I want to be hot for Jesus Christ. I want to be hot for God. And you know, Joseph was willing to bear the reproach. And we ought to be willing to bear the reproach. And God says in the book of Peter, he says, I'm well pleased with that. So who are we going to please? You know, you find that if you're going to be the servant of man, then you can't please God, Galatians 1 says. And so we need to just mark it down that we need a generation of men of God, men of this church who'll say, you know what, I may not be much, I may not be rich, I may not be well educated, but one thing I can do, I can seek to follow the Lord with all my heart, soul, body, and strength. I can be a godly man. I can be a godly husband. I can be a godly dad. I may not be perfect in every stripe or fashion, but by the same token, I can sure try. And as I fall down, I'm going to get back up and dust myself off, look to Jesus, and keep pressing on because he's the author and the finisher of my faith. He was morally strong. Also, lastly, I see where Joseph was well-mannered. He was well-mannered. He was a man of responsibility. Wow. One of the banes in society today is the breakup of the home. One of the banes of society are the latchkey kids. One of the banes of society is dads who don't fulfill their God-given role as a dad in the home. And you know, I've got to say, Joseph was a special guy. You know, they went on to have other children, Mary and Joseph did. God bless their home. We know James in the scriptures was the half-brother. We believe, many Bible scholars believe, that the book of James was written by the half-brother of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine growing up in that environment? Can you imagine having a perfect brother? That brings a lot of thoughts, doesn't it? Take him captive. But you can imagine what that must have been like growing up in a home like that. And yet we find that Joseph here, he took that responsibility seriously. What a man. What a man of God. What an example for us. Biologically, Jesus was not his, but yet he said, Jesus needs nurturing. Jesus needs protection. I'm going to protect him. Jesus needs provision. I'm going to provide for him. You see, the Holy Son of God left God the Father, became a baby. Folks, babies have no way of protecting themselves, feeding themselves, caring for themselves. And here Joseph says, I'll fulfill that role. You tell me Joseph was not a good man, that God would entrust the care of the Christ child to him? Whew. Wow. A man's man. He was well-mannered. He fulfilled his earthly father's role. And you know, he lived by what I would say is the rule of Scripture. And I know that that's probably one of the central themes that is woven throughout this, because that's all he had to go by. He had to simply take God at his word. And he lived according to that principle. Joseph was a man's man in his day. And we need such men today. I see this, that he was a saved man. He was a good man. Are you a good man? Are you a saved man? Number two, he was a morally strong, and we need men today who are morally strong. Guys, we're under a lot of attack today. A lot of attack. The devil is out to steal, kill, and destroy. And we need men who'll be men, who'll be morally strong. And when the attacks come, that means we do whatever's necessary to fight against that attack. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You put safeguards in your life so that you can stand strong against the wiles of the devil, because he's out to try to defeat us. And that's why he aims at so many men, because we're supposed to be the leaders of the home. And so the attack comes at us. Ladies, pray for we men. Children, pray for your fathers. Pray for your mothers. Lift them up in prayer. We need it. We need men today who are well-mannered men. Men who will face their responsibility. Not always looking for the easy way out. Not seeking to live a life of pleasure. Not seeking to have a life that just fulfills themselves. No, but even when that responsibility means giving up some of the pleasures and the leisure activities of life so that they can fulfill their God-given role, that's the kind of men we need. I close with this illustration. I talk about Dr. Bob Kelly, a pastor that was pastor in Franklin Road Baptist Church before, as when Brenda and I moved up here with the family. And when April, his wife, got MS, he was an evangelist at that time and had to come off, and he went back into the pastorate. You know, a lot of men would have just sort of given up, but he didn't give up. He fulfilled his responsibility. When she got cancer, he fulfilled his responsibility. I would see Brother Kelly preach dynamite messages. He still traveled quite a bit and so on, but I would see him care for April. I'd see him pick her up out of the wheelchair, put her in the front seat of the car. He cared for her. He fulfilled his responsibility. I'm not going to mention a man in this area, but I had utmost respect for a man living in this area whose wife became an invalid. And you know, he stayed by her side year after year after year. Didn't come to this church, came to another church, but I talked to him, knew some of his family, and he's still around today. His wife eventually passed away, and he remarried. But I saw a man that the temptation, I'm sure, was strong. And there'd be other people that would maybe forgive him if he strayed, but no, he didn't. And he wouldn't put away his wife either, because he said, I'm going to stand by her. He didn't look to fulfill his own desires. He cared for his wife. He fulfilled his responsibility. That's the kind of men we need today. Why don't you seek to be a man of God? Joseph was a good man. He was morally strong, and he was well-mannered. You know, those are character traits, and those are traits we all can have. I trust we'll take the message to heart. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Are you saved today? I didn't ask if you knew the story of Jesus. Are you saved? Is he your personal Savior? Let me encourage you. If he's not your personal Savior, trust him today. You'll never be sorry. Don't you know, in glory, whatever emotion Joseph went through, whatever shame he had to bear, whatever the rumor mill was and the criticism was, he sure is glad today. And you'll never be sorry giving your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. As the musicians play, if you need to come, would you come? Pastor Friesen and Pastor Matt are here. If you need someone to pray with you, deal with you, let me encourage you to come. Don't be embarrassed to come. Joseph was willing to bear the abuse and even the talk and overcome that family pride thing to be the stepfather of the Lord Jesus Christ.